But joining us right now on the Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline, it is actor David Rashi. He is most recently Carl from Succession. David, how are you, sir?
Oh, good. Thank you. Nice talking to you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. So it's honestly very cool to hear your voice after just wrapping up the show. It's a little tough to not hear Frank.
You mean Carl?
Excuse me. Yeah,
that's all right.
At after several seasons, sure. you quickly became my favorite. You became my favorite characters on the show. The duo. You remind me a bit of Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets. Just
there's kind of that. Yes. There's an element to it.
Just cantankerous and critical, but also in love with the chaos around you. So. I guess let's just start with what your reaction to the show has been over the past week and really over all of season four.
I don't think anybody saw that coming. The show has become so popular, and I guess everybody knew that it was, popular through the first three seasons, but suddenly in season four, there are newspaper articles in every major newspaper, like two a day. That's just unbelievable. Everybody's got some sort of, they're talking about, what do rich people wear, what are the clothes like, the handbag, what kind of handbag was it? And the amount and intensity of attention has been pretty remarkable. I've never seen anything like it.
So I think, it feels like your role has increased as the years have gone on.
Yes. I have been given more and more to do. Well, what I'm there for is to really illuminate the other characters, because the name of it is Succession. And it's really, we've never spoken about it, but you can tell from the scripts, Jesse's interest is the kids, the family. That's what he's interested in. He could easily, Carl is caught sleeping with his best friend's wife and Logan has to get him out of it.
Right.
No, that's not what they're doing. That's in another show. That could possibly be a plot thing, but not here, because that's not what it's about. It's about them and their succession and who's going to go next and this family.
So because of that, they obviously they keep dropping hints about their backstories. So we know a lot about that. But when you're doing the role of Carl, how conscious are you of who Carl is? Like, how do you, the last 20 years of Carl's life, apparently it feels like he's worked for Logan that long.
At least 30. I think, yeah. Well, you can tell of a person by what they do and what they say. So I always got my cues from what they had me do and what they had me say. The first day that I was on the set, I didn't know anything about the show. I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't seen the pilot and read the pilot. This is the first season. And there was Jesse. And I said, well, who am I? And he said, well, you're a shark. So already we know what world we're in. And I think that appellation, that character description right there, goes an awfully long way to inform anything that I do, because there is a striving and an egotism and a drive. That's a shark. What do? They're on the top. They live through it all, right? They're voracious. They're cruel, and they live on, right, when everybody else goes. So I learned a lot from that, and then just gradually, you could tell that. I was fiercely loyal to Logan, that Carl was. I don't know if he would fall on his sword for him, but he would certainly have somebody else fall on his sword for Logan.
This is David Rashi. He's most recently was Carl in Succession. And my first question, it's weird hearing your voice without Frank with you, because I just think of the two of you and your banter. And, of course, your approach to how you handled the kids was polar opposite, but I've heard the two of you talk about this a little bit to piggyback off Dan's question. I don't think the audience thinks about how many scenes you guys shoot that get cut. So when it comes to that, is it ever a bummer for you when a scene gets cut that you really thought went well? And then I guess related to that, do those scenes even help you learn about the character a little bit more moving forward, even though they don't end up in the show?
Of course you learn a little bit of something, and it's always sad to see something go that you love. But Jesse gave a talk. Jesse Armstrong, the creator and the producer, gave a talk, just kind of addressed the whole company, or the crew and cast, everybody. And he said, you know, I understand that some of you may be, you know, unhappy that you didn't get to do this or didn't get to do that, but I just want you to know that everything I did was for the good of the show. And that's really has been the main focus of everything he does. And he also said that he's a remarkable person. He gave one he won an award, and he said, or maybe it was, I don't know, an email. He said, "This is thinking of all of the scenes that were cut, were shot and not cut, all of the scenes were written and not used, all the actors who did auditions and were never hired, all the sets that were built and never used." And so he understands the full scope of it, and how, you know, I mean, I'll just give you one example. I don't know if you remember in the last show, there was a fight between Kendall and Roman, and in real time, you know, when we shot it, I mean, they went on for like 5 or 10 minutes many times. And what did they use in the end? They used like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that does not get in, but that's one of Jesse's genius points, is that he is able to distill and pick out just as much as he needs. He never goes too long. In my opinion, I've never seen a scene go, you think, well, I've had it with that. He's always very economic and brutal. You know, he'll cut, you know, his favorite scene or his favorite line if he thinks that it's better for the show.
So when do you know if you got a scene cut?
When you see it.
Once it airs? Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if they would tell you. And
No, they did one time. There was one particular line which was very pivotal for Frank. And it was like at the end of, the third season. And it was this very, very pivotal line. And he was glad to have it. And they cut it, and they did call him and tell him, just so you know. But no, I mean, like, I'll tell you, for instance, like the scene where Logan dies in the third episode, nobody ever saw that. We didn't see it. We shot what we shot, but we didn't know what they would use. And when it was over, everybody was like pretty much speechless. And the cast, all of a sudden, there was like texting crazy. Because everybody was talking about what it was like, you know, what their reactions to that that third episode were. But no, it's thrilling to see, and you know, they add the music. You see what's cut, what wasn't cut. We see what the other actors are doing. You see what the cameraman was doing. You know, because these shots are not just like they turn the camera on and, you know, and watch whatever happens. I mean, the camera's constantly moving and finding someone's face or someone's eye, or someone puts their phone in their pocket, or a glance, or they say a line, the camera will zoom in on their face. That's all other people. You got nothing to do with you, and it affects the outcome, the final product.
This is David Rashi. Do I say your name right? Rashi?
Rashi.
Rashi.
Okay. Yes. No, you're not alone. Everyone gets it wrong.
I'm getting David right? Do I get David? Yeah.
Close on the David.
It's Carl from Succession. Succession just wrapped up their 4 seasons, and it's awesome. Awesome show. Do you get to help shape the character at all?
You know, I'll tell you how it happens. In my opinion, it happens partly because of what they need. My character and our character, the character of everybody except the kids, was really there structurally to illuminate the kids. As I said before, Jesse's interest is not in us. He's interested in the kids. And so, you know, Jerry's whole thing illuminates who Roman is. And we kind of were Logan's world. you know, we're the kind of people he hangs out. So to know Logan is to know us, and to know us is to know Logan.
Yeah.
But I always left it alone. There was only one time when I ever was told to do something. I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you what it was. But, you know, these guys, Jesse and these writers, they can get really raw. You know, this show, Sun Tank, is really raw. And I don't know how else to describe it. And sometimes it's like, when I read it, it's too much for me. And I said, that's too much for me. And then I thought better of it and went back and changed it. But, you know, like take that scene where, I don't know if you remember, but after the funeral, when Roman is like crying over his father, and the next thing you know, Carl has got a tape of it that's going around the internet, and it's like, sheesh, right? Pretty tough guy.
The reason I ask if you could shape it at all, like, I wonder if they talk to you guys about what are your talents, because we never had an idea that Carl could sing until the final episode.
I was very lucky about that. I don't know why. I'll tell you, the only thing I can think of is why they asked me to do it was I did a cabaret, an evening of songs that I had written, and one of the writers saw it. And when the idea came up, maybe my name came up because of that.
Okay.
But I really don't know, but I'm awfully glad, because it was a lovely thing to do. And the minute he wrote me an email and asked me if I would be willing to do that, if I was at all interested. And I, of course, wrote back immediately, you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's the only real music that was in the whole show. You know, no one ever sang.
Well, there was there was Kendall with L to the OG.
Yeah. But that's right.
That's not quite on Carl's level. Yeah.
I mean, I just loved the way you played your character. He would just hang, and then all of a sudden he could be vicious just for a second, or really funny. And I want to play this. This is when they found the piece of paper in Logan's safe. So he had already died. A piece of paper that indicated, what was it, that he wanted Kendall to run the company in
the end? Yeah, but then
we don't know.
Yeah, the underline of the strike through.
Underlined, was it crossed out? But Frank
should have been, or he should not have been. Yeah.
So Frank found it, and then you come in the room.
So what are you thinking?
Well, I honestly didn't even want to start thinking until you were here.
I mean, could it, might it just go away? I mean, it might get lost. I hope it doesn't. But what if your hand goes a little wobbly and the draft takes it away and it gets flushed down a toilet by mistake? I'm kidding, of course.
No, sure, you're speculating in a comic mode.
Yeah, in a humorous vein.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of the funniest parts of this show I've ever seen.
It's really funny, I tell you. It's the writers, you know? I mean, It's all very nice, and I'm just thrilled to talk to you guys, and I'm flattered and all like that. But, you know, there's a part of me that says, I didn't write that. You know, I mean, I'm so glad.
But you pulled it off. You know, I don't know that everybody can pull that off.
Yeah, very sweet of you. But, you know, really, it all starts there. You know, who thought of that? Jesse Armstrong. And not only who thought of it, but who wrote it just like that? What if the wind got in your hand and went wobbly? What a funny thing to say. I didn't think of that. They wrote that. Terrific. Great writing. I tell you, everybody, you know, it's all very nice, and everybody's getting famous and stuff like that. And, you know, Logan is going, you know, and Kendall and Jeremy Strong and Karen and everything. But it all starts with the writer. It all starts with Jesse Armstrong. He gave everybody this huge gift. It's just unbelievable. The gift that he gave us all of being able to say his words.
Has this changed your life at all?
You bet it has. Sure, everybody. I mean, as I said, you know, there's articles every day. You know, there's visibility. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's chattering about it. And I think everyone in the cast is visible in a new way that they never were before, that they were part of this grand thing.
So we've been talking a couple days on our show, just we're big fans, so we've been talking about the fact that we're going to have you on. It's by the way, I'll reset for those tuning in. David Rashi. I'm probably saying it wrong again.
That felt better.
Perfect.
Rashi. That felt better.
Good
yeah.
For you.
Carl from Succession. Thank you. getting a compliment from you is very high on the list. So,
all right.
But I had a few listeners actually say, "Hey, man, you need to check out Sledgehammer." And
yes.
I am not familiar with Sledgehammer. Apparently, it's a sitcom that you were on, that you were the star of in the late 80s. And reading yes. about it, it feels, in fact, Jake was just saying this to me a second ago, it feels like it was ahead of its time.
Very much so. It was ahead of, you know, Naked Gun and the airplane movies and all like that. It was this really sort of lots of puns and a tongue-in-cheek, and it was about this... crazy detective who, like shot jaywalkers. He was kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger on a bad day. You know, Dirty Harry gone crazy. And, yes, it was a delightful sort of crazy show. You would see, but I mean, the description sounds like everybody is very violent, but it was a family show. I got a lot of people say that, my dad and I used to watch that show every Friday. That was something my dad and I did. So it was, very gratifying to be a part of that.
We're going to go back and watch it. We're going to see if we can find
you
that.
Should.
Yeah.
You know, the pilot is really funny. And then after that, you know, it was 1986. It's a long time ago. And some of them really hold up and some of them are a little wally.
So I have to ask you why we have you. You know more about the character of Carl than in just about anyone. Maybe not Jesse, but what was the plan for that island, Carl?
Well, I think I'm going to sit there, and there are going to be a lot of beautiful people, and I'm going to be friends with Salman Rushdie and you know, Mitt Romney and Bill Clinton and Elon Musk. They're all going to filter through and stay the night with Carl on his beautiful island, and we will talk of things, and we will go to museums and buy fine art, and that's where I think he ends up.
Well, I think we were kind of wondering, would you invite Jeffrey Epstein?
Now.
He's buying an island.
Yeah.
And he wants to hang out with artists.
We don't know anything about Carl's backstory.
Physicists and...
Look, Carl has a very active secret life, no question. But no.
Okay.
Okay.
Not, you know, you're
good.
Enormously wealthy. You know what happens.
Yes, I know.
We read the news.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this isn't about David. This
That's
is about
right.
Carl.
That's
no,
right.
This is about Carl.
I understand.
Well, yeah. Loved your character, man. Maybe we'll get
so
you by. Maybe we'll try to go ahead and watch Sledgehammer.
Well,
and then talk to you
watch.
Again in the future.
I just had a movie open. It's with Robert De Niro called About My Father. Just opened last week. It's really funny. It's a very, very... Sebastian Maniscalco, the comic.
Yeah.
And Robert De Niro and me and Kim Cattrall. It's an all-star cast, and it's really, really funny. I highly recommend it. It's delightful, and you can bring your kids.
I'm in.
I was surprised too. Somebody sent me a clip of you in the movie Cobra. Do you remember,
oh, God.
You remember that?
Oh my! Yeah, I was an innocent bystander. Yeah, I was one of the first to get killed. Oh my God!
Wait, were you killed in that? I know you were the photographer.
Early on.
Photographing Bridget Nielsen
with the robots.
Yes, I got killed in the parking garage. That was so funny. Time to tell you the story, but the director, he says, okay, go. And they went, ba da 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 ba 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 ba. There's the big action stuff. And I go, you're shooting and slashing. And afterwards, he says, oh, cut. And I hear him screaming, no. He's screaming at me. So I'm lying on the ground with my one leg out and one knee up. He says, no, you died with your leg up. You don't die with your leg up. No, oh, God, no, you die with your leg up. I don't know. I just fell down, but he was apparently very upset that I died with my leg up.
Gotta get
the
dying down.
You had to learn how to die.
Yes.
That's right.
His way, I guess. He was Greek. He was nuts. George Kosmatos. He would talk. He would say, dude, why don't we get to... I'm talking to myself. No one's listening. I'm talking to myself.
So can we ask you for one more thing? It is our audio autograph. It's a radio liner. So we would like you to identify yourself and then say, I never listened to Dan and Jake on the ticket. Like,
you want me to say, I never listened.
Yeah, are you following that? It's, you know, you identify yourself. You could say David Rashi from Carl from Succession, and I never listened to Dan and Jake on the ticket.
Okay.
And well, keep the leg down, okay, when you're doing this.
I'm talking to myself.
I remember it. This is David Rashi from Succession, and I never listened to Dan and Jay on this. That wasn't Dan and Jay, is it?
It's Dan and Jake, but you, I would have accepted it. You're Carl.
No, come on. Dan and Jake, here we go. Well, this is David Rashi from Succession, and I never listened to Dan and Jake on the ticket. I make it a point.
We'll keep that one, Carl.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Not at all. Pleasure talking to you guys.
Yes, sir. Be well. Maybe we'll check
Thanks
in for a sledgehammer review here in a few months. There he goes.
Absolutely.
It is David Rashi. He is the great Carl.